Hi, I'm Mr. Liparulo.
And I'm Mrs. Hasek. We teach science at Butler Intermediate. Before we get started, let's stand together and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our SOAR quote for today is by Winston Churchill. He was the British Prime Minister who successfully led Great Britain through World War II. He is well known for his inspiring speeches and refusal to give in during very difficult times. Churchill's uplifting quote reads, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference."
Hey, speaking of Winston Churchill and World War II, that reminds me of the family-owned grocery store in my hometown. It was called Churchill's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know that my dad grew up in a household where they ran a small restaurant? His mother, my grandmother, taught him how to cook, and he, in turn, passed a lot of basic cooking knowledge on to me. I absolutely love to cook and always love trying to cook new things.
I didn't know that. How cool. So why are you and I so excited to talk about cooking and baking today when we're science teachers? Is there a science to cooking and baking?
Yes, absolutely. It is important to understand what food does for us first, and there is a science to it. Simply put, food equals energy. Our bodies require energy to perform all functions and to maintain a stable internal state, which is called homeostasis. Our body works the most efficiently when it is in that state and has enough energy. Now, there are two major energy sources for humans. Those energy sources are carbohydrates and fats. Now, carbohydrates are the most abundant form of energy. Healthy sources in our diet of carbohydrates come from whole grains, vegetables, fruits, and beans. Another type of energy is fats or lipids. And they are a more concentrated energy source.
That's right. Our bodies need fats. Fats actually give twice the amount of energy than carbohydrates. Our bodies quickly use the energy from carbs until those are gone. Then it switches over and gets energy from the stored fat. Foods that are high in healthy fats are avocados, cheese, eggs, nuts, and healthy oils.
Well, there's another molecule that we get from food as well. That molecule is protein. Now, proteins are made from small subunits called amino acids. Human bodies can use these amino acids that they get from proteins in our diet, and they can use it to make new proteins. Now, in your diet, healthy foods that are high in protein include chicken, lean beef, fish, eggs, almonds, yogurt, oats, and broccoli. We get our nutritional requirements, for the most part, from eating raw versions of any of these three molecules, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. However, there's another really important factor that humans really place value in. That is the taste and smell of food. Now, we have taste buds and we have scent receptors that have a direct link to our brain. Flavors such as sweet, bitter, sour, salty, or savory all can cause us to react and respond in different ways. When a food tastes and smells good, it releases neurotransmitters in our brain, and that can make us feel happy. Similar chemicals are released whenever we exercise, whenever we read a good book, or when we get a kiss on the cheek. So now let's get into some details about the role that science plays in cooking and baking. Mrs. Hasek, the word is in the hallways of the intermediate is that you are considered to be an expert in baking. Is this correct?
Oh, I don't know about expert, but I enjoy baking. And just like you, Mr. Liparulo, baking has a special place in my heart, and I share that with my friends and family. As a science teacher, I'm not afraid to experiment or make messes.
Well, that's great. Can you tell us a little bit about how baking involves science? I know that I've recently tried to make chocolate chips, and let's just go ahead and say they didn't turn out very well. My chocolate chips were more like chocolate chip rocks instead of cookies.
Ooh. Baking actually relies on a ton of chemistry. and involves living bacteria and fungus. Having even just a little science background will help you better understand when and why physical and chemical changes take place when baking. When we bake, ingredients react with each other and undergo chemical changes. A chemical change is when one or more substances change into an entirely new substance with different properties. Let's talk about some basic baking ingredients. Flour is the powdered form of grains. There are many different types of grains from which flour can be made, like wheat, corn, oat, and barley. But all-purpose flour is probably what you have at home. No matter what type of flour you have, it contains starch, which is a carbohydrate, and proteins. Examples are glutenin and gliadin. Remember, our bodies need this energy that's stored in these carbs and protein molecules. When liquids react with the flour, this causes the carbohydrate and protein molecules to rearrange, forming new bonds that create entirely new substances like gluten. Different chemical reactions between carbohydrates, proteins, and other baking ingredients start to take place at different temperatures. Once you put that pan of cookies into the oven, there's a whole lot of chemistry taking place. Eggs give your product structure and stability. They bind ingredients together. Butter enhances the flavor and stops chemical reactions, helping to keep baked goods soft. At room temperature, butter is a solid. It doesn't take much heat to melt the butter. Does anybody know what your average body temperature is?
I do. 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh, excellent, Mr. Liparillo. And butter melts around 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Who knew there was actually some science behind the saying, melt in your mouth? I wonder if your grandpa's restaurant served fresh bread with their meals.
Yes, I am sure they did.
Fresh baked bread. Baking soda, baking powder, and yeast are all what we call leavening agents that are used in baking. These make the dough or batter expand and rise. Baking soda and baking powder react with acidic ingredients and release carbon dioxide as a gas. Yeast is a single-celled fungus. It's actually a living thing. All living things use energy, and yeast gets its energy from the starches found in flour and the sugars that we use in recipes. Yeast causes a reaction that we call fermentation. Fermentation causes chemical changes, creating new substances, one of which is carbon dioxide. This gas is what leaves holes in your bread and makes a cake light and fluffy.
Well, now, this is all very interesting. I followed the recipe for my cookies. I used the right ingredients, and I baked them at the right temperature. What could have possibly gone wrong?
When butter melts, the separation of water and fat is what causes the dough to spread or flatten out. Water evaporates, and as the cookies continue to bake, many more reactions take place, causing things like the cookies to rise or brown.
But Mrs. Hasek, how does that explain why my cookies were hard as a rock?
There are so many variables when it comes to baking, Mr. Liparillo. When you mix ingredients, it's important that you have precise measurements and consistency. The order in which you add the ingredients is important too. Add something in the wrong order and a chemical reaction starts too soon and runs out of an energy supply to fuel other reactions. There are many things that could have gone wrong.
Wow, my head is spinning right now because of all the factors to consider when baking. Now, to build off of that, cooking also depends a whole lot on how the foods we start with change with regards to their physical and chemical properties. Now, those changes cause the smells and the flavors and the seasoning that makes us want to come back for seconds. Now, with cooking, temperature is a very important factor. Mrs. Hasek, do you know why?
Is it related to safety or maybe the flavor?
Well, it's actually both. But let's consider safety first. The Food and Drug Administration recommends foods to be cooked to certain temperatures. And what this does is it makes sure that any active organisms, such as viruses or bacteria, do not actively divide. For steak, pork, lamb, the internal temperature should be at least 145 degrees Fahrenheit. For any ground meat and poultry, the internal temperature should be 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
So those high temperatures kill off the harmful microorganisms or bacteria that make us sick that are sometimes in raw meat.
Yes, they do, and the heat does. Now, back to our second point, and my favorite point, taste. Although there are many different ways that heat can be used to change the physical and chemical properties of food, there are three basic techniques that are very commonly used in most forms of cooking. It is browning, sautéing, and steaming. Let's talk about browning first. Browning is a chemical reaction that occurs between the amino acids found in proteins in the food and reducing sugars caused from high heat. Now, this is what causes that nice, lovely crust that you see on the outside of a steak or a hamburger. And what this is caused by is the chemical reaction that occurs when you brown food.
Wow. Do you have any tips for students or people like myself if they're new to cooking and want to try some of these fancy techniques like browning?
Of course I do. Now, so when you brown food, you need a nice hot skillet at medium to high heat. You don't want to overcrowd your food in the pan because part of what happens whenever you brown food is that water forms. So if you have too much in your pan, too much water forms. When too much water forms, the chemical reaction that occurs during the process of browning does not occur and you don't get that crispy crust on your food. Now, speaking of cooking, want to learn more, Mrs. Hassick, if you were going to make chicken fajitas at home and you were going to make some vegetables to go with that, how would you make them?
I'd put a little oil in a pan and heat up the vegetables.
That sounds perfect. You just described the way to saute food. Sauteing is a process of heating food with thin layers of fat or oil. If you cook items for long enough at the right temperature, a phenomenon occurs called caramelization. This is a chemical reaction where the sugars in food oxidize, or the electrons within the food are removed from its chemical structure. And once again, this results in a physical change in the flavor. It gives it a nutty, toasty, or sweet flavor and a brown color. Now, you got to pay close attention to what type of sugar is in the food, because different sugars caramelize at different temperatures. Fruits and foods with honey and corn syrup caramelize much quicker than vegetables. Overcooking, in any case, whenever you try to caramelize food, causes an extremely bitter flavor.
A lot of people I know cook with an Instapot. How do those work?
Well, they work by using steam and pressure. Steam will cook the food much like boiling it in water, but the water doesn't actually come in contact with the food. This keeps the nutrients and the flavors from being washed away. Now, under normal atmospheric conditions, water turns to steam at a boiling temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. However, with an Instapot, which is a modern-day pressure cooker, the pressure allows the boiling point of water to increase to around 250 degrees. What this does is it allows the meat to cook at a higher temperature, and it allows it to be done quicker. Now, some tips for steaming. If you're cooking vegetables, do not overcook them. Your food can turn into a lump of mush. Also, when you are browning meats, please, when you're cooking meats in a steamer, please make sure that you brown them beforehand. And those are some good tips.
That actually makes sense, Mr. Liparillo. Cooking and baking are great ways to bring people together. Maybe we inspired you to experiment in the kitchen and try a new recipe. We hope that everyone listening takes the opportunity to spend time with your loved ones. Maybe that time can be spent preparing meals and sharing them with each other. Thank you, everyone. Please stay safe and healthy.
Thank you, everyone.